Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Good day to you all loyal listeners. I am Tony Coppell. Some of you may know that Lorianne had a minor operation yesterday. I'm happy and relieved to report that all's well. She is home. Thank you, God and Mediclinic. Our main feature today is a second broadcast by André von Dieventer. You heard him 2 weeks ago discussing the history of Afrikaans and of Worcester. But there's something about André that will surprise you. He's both blind and deaf, and he'll be talking about that in detail. And we will report on It's Time with Angus Buchan last Saturday. But we'll start with a children's praise song that is very popular here, particularly in kids' clubs. Beware, if you have South African kids in the room, they will get up and dance. It's Willie on the Wingspan and Jesus Het Mij Mooi Gemaakt here on the Worcester Report. I have posted the video to our brand new CWCP Radio Facebook, which you should certainly check out.
Jesus het my mooi gemaak. Jesus het my mooi gemaak. Jesus het my mooi gemaak. Hande op my kop, hier is my hande, hier is my voete en my mooi gesigie. Hande op my kop, hier is my hande, hier is my voete en my mooi gesigie. Jesus het my mooi gemaak. 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 Hande op my kop, hier is my hande, hier is my voete en my mooi gesigie. Hande op my kop, hier is my hande, hier is my voete en my mooi gesigie. Klap die hande, klap om, klap die hande. Klap die handen, klap om, klap die handen, klap om. Stamp die voeten, stamp om, stamp die voeten, stamp om. Stamp die voeten, stamp om, stamp die voeten, stamp om. Draai die lijfie, draai om, draai die lijfie, draai om. Draai die lijfie, draai om, draai die lijfie, draai om. Jesus in my mooi gemaak. Jesus in my mooi gemaak. Jesus in my mooi gemaak.
My name is Tony Coppell and I live in Worcester, Western Cape, South Africa. And I've become friends with André van Dieventer and his wife, Janie. And both of them have disabilities, quite severe. But they have overcome them. And I totally forget about their disabilities when I'm with them and we're conversing. André has been blind from birth. And he has also been deaf from a very young age. And Janie has hearing difficulties. They're married. They've been married a couple of years. And I'm going to open up your ears and minds to some of the technology that Andre has discovered, because he's very sharp and bright and he likes to know what's going on in these fields. So first of all, Andre, welcome to the program. And tell us in your words about your disabilities and then the steps you've taken basically to overcome them.
Tony, thank you, and good day to our listeners. It's a huge pleasure to be here with you. As Tony said, I was born blind completely, so I went to a special school for blind children here in South Africa. At the age of 16, I started losing my hearing also. And this progressed to such an extent where I now wear two cochlear implants. So you can say I have a dual disability. The problem is that if I remove my cochlear implants, I am, for all practical purposes, completely deaf and completely blind. Now, in a country like Canada, the US, and Western Europe, services for persons with disabilities are actually quite reasonable. This is not the case in a country like South Africa, which is basically a developing country. There are some basic services available, but you have to scratch around for services over here and you have to improvise. I was very lucky. I am reasonably technically adept. So I started looking for technology which could assist me with this dual disability actually to manage. I started working after school as a proofreader in a Braille printing press. And then I became national director of an organization called Deaf Blind South Africa, which caters for persons with both sight and hearing loss. During that time, I also became the Secretary General of the World Federation of the Deaf Blind and served on an advisory panel for one of the rapporteurs on disability at the United Nations. I was very lucky to travel to about 9 countries in 8 years for this work, which was, I think, quite a revelation, because it broadened my own understanding of people and the way people work within different cultural groupings. So I have all kinds of technology, because the problem is now you have to cater for two disabilities. On the one hand, I grew up in the visual disability field, so it's not strange for me. But when I started losing my hearing, it became a completely new ball game. And I had to find ways of helping, of finding technology which could help me to function properly. I had to source a lot of information internationally about what people were using, and I had to combine this with my visual disability also, which means that I have to find my own way of working actually. This meant that I became quite interested and I think reasonably adept at using technology for both or visually impaired and hearing impaired folks, which is absolutely fascinating, trying to combine these different types of technology. I use both Braille and speech output on my computer and my phone, because I simply cannot hear enough to use speech only. I have different aids helping me to communicate in noisy circumstances or noisy environments. I've got all these types of aids. Some of them are pricey because they were aids manufactured especially for visually or hearing impaired people. Some of them are common things that I've actually found that can assist me. I lived alone from 1989 until 2 years ago when my wife Janie decided she can actually manage with this cranky bastard. I've learned to do my own thing. I believe that independence is a huge, a very, very important thing. You must try to learn to do your own thing. This is the first one. And the second one is build up a support system for yourself of people who can assist you. It's not a shame to realize there are some things you can't do. But have people around you who can assist you when you need it. I believe it actually increases your independence in the end. Because you learn that sometimes, as I say, no man is an island. We need each other. And relationships actually, I think, forms a great part of this also.
Andre, a few minutes ago, you took a phone call. We were actually doing the interview and your phone rang. Just run through the process that allowed you to check your phone.
I have an iPhone, and part of Apple's operating system is what is called a screen reading process. And the screen reading process allows you the phone to actually speak what is on the screen. It's a very common tool used by blind people. If you work on the Android platform, there's also a program that does exactly the same. But for me, it's a bit more complicated because I've got my cochlear implants switched to microphones only so that I can hear Tony. When a phone rings, the first thing I must do is I must switch both the implants over to a setting so that it can receive sound from the connection to the phone, because I cannot hear through these little speakers. Then I need to go onto my screen reading software and access the screen to see who is calling. I would then, where sighted people would tap, I would double tap then. But my phone is directly connected to my cochlear implants, so that I can actually hear what happens in both ears, both the speech and the actual phone call. When I need to send a message or a WhatsApp or something like that, I do use a braille display also. Some completely blind people will be familiar with this device. It has like a set of pegs that come up. And it's connected to Bluetooth with your phone. So I need both these technologies in order to function.
Now, one thing that surprised me about your house here is that you have quite, very good stereo audio equipment, which I don't normally associate with people who have a hearing problem. But I know that you really appreciate listening to good quality music. Is this surprising?
It is to some extent, Tony, because cochlear implants are notorious for not reproducing music very well. Because you must remember, this is a computer that hears for you. But the human brain is a wonderful thing, and it seems to adapt to some extent to these electrical impulses, actually, and creates a reasonable facsimile of music for you. Having had all of my hearing at some stage, I have good musical memory. So I can tell you that it's not normal music as you would know it. But you learn to adapt to it, because life is unfortunately like that. Things come across your path and you simply have to deal with it. Either be without it, which I'm not prepared to do. Being without my music, or you simply have to learn to deal with what you have and make the best of that.
Your computer equipment that you have here is quite extensive and quite sophisticated. and I see you communicating with your computer, and it's talking back at you all the time, and you're finding your way around the computer. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It's the same process as with a phone. You have what is called screen reading software, which actually speaks what is on the screen. You have that. I have Braille output here also because I find it difficult to hear the speech now. I need to use both of it. But I use the normal programs, the normal Office programs, the normal Windows 10 programs. Some of them, the Office stuff, for example, is quite accessible. Some other programs are, some are not. You have to, unfortunately, play around to find out. But it gives you quite a reasonable access to the screen. I must just say that computer speech has actually improved incredibly. When I started out, you had a very robotic-sounding type of speech. The speech we do get on computers now is made up of phrases of human voice. So you actually get quite a natural-sounding speech. You can even get, for example, in English, you can get speech with Scottish pronunciation, with Irish pronunciation, with Australian pronunciation, South African pronunciation, even West Indian pronunciation. All these different flavors of English you can actually get now where speech is concerned. It's actually progressed incredibly well through the last, I would say, 10 years.
Many of our listeners to this are disabled and will be able to relate very well to everything you're saying. But imagine for a moment that you're talking to a group of parents who have recently had a child who is either blind or deaf or both, and they are worried about the child's future. Can you encourage those parents?
Tony, oh yes, I can do. I would almost say the sky is the limit. I don't believe that any child has a ceiling. It depends on what the type of input you give to them. It is important to let the child spread its wings and do and try different things and new things which their sighted or non-disabled peers would try. But it is also important, I think, in the development of a disabled child, that there should be a safety net. The child should know, if what I'm trying to do does not work out, mum and dad will be there to encourage and to catch me when I fall. Because children need that. And the balance here is not that easy to achieve. Some parents overprotect their children, which is not good because then the child does not learn to function within society. But then I have seen parents who sort of, I would almost say, not acknowledge the disability and expect the child to be normal and does not provide that safety net where the child can know, if I can't, if I fail at something, then it's okay. I'll just try again, and I've got mum and dad to console me. So we need a balance here of freedom on the one hand to expand yourself, and but also a safety net for you to know when you don't manage, everything is okay, and also to encourage you.
My guest has been André van de Winter, and we're sitting in his house in Worcester, Western Cape, South Africa. And I want to thank you, André, so much for bringing your experience and wisdom on the subject of these two disabilities and how he has overcome them. And when I think of André, I think of him as a perfectly normal person. I don't take any account of the fact that he's both blind and deaf. I just communicate with him the same way I would with anybody else. and that's a credit to his spirit and drive. This is Tony Koppel for CWCP Radio.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Hi, I'm L.A. Koppel, and there's a rain forecast today. We prayed for rain when we were in Cape Town last Saturday, and actually it did rain a bit that day. But other amazing things happened, like Mitchell's playing gang leaders coming to faith. Angus Buchan was led to give four of these men his signature hat, his Bible, shirt, and boots. I was totally amazed. What a beautiful show of love and legacy. And then Angus even waved and said hello to our crowd while we were waiting for a shuttle to our car. And even with a little bit of rain, we still need more. So we'll start off with tonight's rain song. Here's David Roos with Send Your Rain on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Your rain.
It's time for The Train on CWCP Couples Western Cape Radio. CWCP, Couples Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Couple. We just heard the original writer of Freight Train, Elizabeth Cotton. Tony tells me he first heard it through a skiffle band called Nancy Whiskey. And we also started the set with our rain song, Send Your Rain, from David Rose. He's a well-known vineyard pastor and musician, and may we receive that rain and more.
Lorianne mentioned Angus Buchan and It's Time. A terrific event last Saturday in Mitchell's Plain. We went, numbers of our friends went. You couldn't see them because there were so many people there. And there was plenty of excellent praise and worship before Angus came on at about 12:30. And all of it was good. And the atmosphere in the crowd was exceptional. But once he started speaking, we were all at a whole other level. I've never seen him live before. I watched his talk to the Parliament a couple of months ago. And here is an exceptional evangelist for our times. The culmination, as you may have heard, of his talk, and I don't know if this was premeditated or if it just came to him through the Holy Spirit, but he wanted to bless gang leaders. Now, again, he can't have known how many or if there were any gang leaders in the crowd, but he asked them to come forward. And after, I don't know, must have been nearly 5 minutes, one gang leader came forward. This was the leadership that was necessary because others followed until there were about 12. And he came down off the stage and he prayed with them. And having prayed, he then showed an act of love, and perhaps you could say love your enemies, in that he gave to the first gang leader who had come up his Stetson hat, his branding. And then he gave to the second one his Bible. I'm sure that that Bible has a great history with Angus. Then he gave to a third one his shirt, the shirt off his back. Luckily he had an undershirt on. And finally he gave his boots to a fourth gang leader. I can't imagine what an effect this will have had on them. His exhortation to them was to put down their guns and take up Bibles and become leaders in bringing Christ in their communities. It was incredibly powerful. I've never seen anything like it. Joy magazine have published an excellent piece, which I highly recommend, and we have posted that and a number of other items that were available to us on our Facebook page for Couples Western Cape. And we've also posted a report about the expected level of crime that the police had in mind and the actual level of crime, which was zero. Read it. It will bless you. And they'd had an event a couple of weeks before where there were endless robberies and violence on that very same location. And now something completely different. The Gig Institute, or in full Generational Inheritance Group, seeks to give anyone who wants to listen a handle on personal financial planning, and specifically planning for those generations that will come after you. Now, I'm a financial planner by profession, and I highly recommend a couple of training events that they are doing next week here in Worcester. On Wednesday the 4th, from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock at YWAM, there will be a presentation all about GIG and just opening your eyes to what they are doing. And then on the following day, the 5th of April, from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock, there will be an in-depth workshop showing how to benefit your own finances and those of others, how to pass the word on. And I highly recommend it. The founder of GIG is Jasper Kloet, and he will be doing the talking on both of those events. Contact me if you're interested in coming. My number is 081-840-9589, either by text or call me, or send me an email at tonycoppel@gmail.com. And we'll get you in there, and I think it's going to be very special. And now, back to Lauriane for Ways to Grow in God.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in God through becoming holy, choices, obedience, and integrity. My name is Lauriane, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. In an earlier program, I mentioned that we grow when we are mentored. We also grow in networking, the task of connecting the nets both in the business world and on the mission field. We were created to be in relationship, and we all influence each other, may it be for positive reasons and not negative. No one is meant to act entirely alone, whether in faith, prayer, or daily life. Don't allow yourself to get isolated. We need who you uniquely are. Yes, you. Here's another way we grow in God. Wanting to become holy through obedience, choices, and integrity. This means our path of choosing obedience is necessary. When I took on a spiritual friend as required by my Foundations of Christian Spirituality class, I was acting in obedience. I had to do this to pass the course. Claudia and I were also accountable to each other on our journey together. We were obedient to each other. We had to be honest to share what we sensed what God was saying to us as well. When I needed a push to do what was needed, Claudia did this. I hope I did the same for her. Obedience is required in our faith. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, obey my commands." This is not something to be done grudgingly although there may be times when you don't feel like obeying, but still do. The Lord knows our hearts. When we do choose to obey, we are given extra grace to do what we are asked. We aren't living out the commands in our own power, and so our spiritual journey goes deep. When we obey God's principles that are shown throughout the Bible, that obedience shines outwardly as integrity and holiness. It becomes a character trait that makes you strong inside. So this is a way to grow in God that seems difficult. Yet this discipline brings deeper growth than you can imagine. Making godly choices is an extension of obedience in your day-to-day life. It is a constant walk of choosing what Jesus would have you do. Integrity is a fruit of godly choices and a lifestyle of being obedient to God's direction, Holy Spirit promptings, and a general teaching in the Bible. The choices and lifestyle of obedience can be tested in difficult times as well as on the mission field. Short-term mission trips are like pressure cookers of faith experience. Long-term missions drain your endurance even more so, but it's worth it. Long days, culture shock, and human frailty show us what we're really like inside. What is really visible in those moments? Is it something that points to Jesus? Or does it only point to our own weakness? I've been told by Anglican mission agency SOMA, Sharing of Ministries Abroad, that sometimes we are the only Bible that others will see. This means that our actions must match our faith. Integrity includes honesty, but it goes much deeper than that. Integrity is a special fruit of our character as Christians. It develops over time. I have been Anglican since about the year 2000, although I'm also charismatic. The Anglican baptism liturgy includes a promise for the baptized person to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever he or she falls into sin, to repent and return to the Lord. Good character develops as a foundation for choosing to walk in God's holy ways. When we choose, we remember the liturgical reply, "I will with God's help." When we agree we need God's help, we acknowledge that we can only live the Christian life in God's power, not our own. When we allow God to empower us and to live our life, it frees us. Without His help, we would only burn out. Do we get this, or do we have to learn this lesson more than a few times? We can't become holy by our own power. So then, how do we become holy? When your faith in Jesus comes alive for the first time, God makes us holy because Jesus died for us. We must accept His gift of sacrifice and love, and then we are filled with peace. He takes away our sin and junk. God the Father then looks at us through His Son. We can now begin to have a papa-child relationship and learn His heart for us. He truly is for us and not against us. Then God starts to develop us to make us more holy as we submit our habits and actions in daily life, and this makes the process faster. Most of us have a lot of bad habits to overcome. I'm still working on some of mine. This process is called sanctification or becoming holy. Some biblical teaching on holy living is simple and straightforward. If you are married, stay faithful to your spouse. We are to love and honor them in a way that blesses them. St. Paul encouraged husbands to love their wives as much as Jesus does the church. Wives are to love their spouses and to understand that their husband wants to protect them from harm, or at best, he can strive for this. If you are single, it means to stay celibate until you're married. When we come to faith, sometimes we don't know the details of how to live a holy life. It takes time to work this out in our lives. Holy Spirit often speaks to growing believers about areas of weakness in their lives as a gentle corrective at just the right time. Sometimes overzealous Christian leaders have mistakenly beaten the Holy Spirit to the punch. They may have approached these people too abruptly over their poor choices. Mentors and leaders have to be gentle in holding us accountable, since this is the Holy Spirit's job. It is God who makes us holy, not our church leaders, although they can encourage us to obey God. The Bible and the Holy Spirit teach us to act with integrity in other areas of our lives, in our careers, jobs, friendships, and daily living. God is our source for godly living. You can read more about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. God will help you live out the holiness that you are given through your salvation in Jesus Christ. This means you cannot be holy in your own strength any more than you can come to faith entirely on your own. You are given a choice, yes, but the power beyond that is not yours or mine. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13 to continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act, according to his good purpose. Part of becoming more holy is to make good and godly choices. Quite often we wonder, okay, I'd like to please God to become more holy. How do I know what is his will for me? Pleasing God comes by faith in him and obedience to his biblical principles. This sounds simple in one way, but there are so many choices. God often leaves the simple choices to us, especially if we do not distract others in our faith walk. One example of this is if your church tradition allows for a glass of wine with dinner, then it is important to not drink in front of someone who struggles in that area. You don't want that person to become tempted to drink. Your freedom grows as you become stronger in your faith, with the exception of addictions. Best to stay clear of anything that you've become addicted to. And another person may be fine with eating a trigger food that I need to stay away from. But if they're kind, they wouldn't eat that item around me. That is a good and kind choice. When you continue to make good choices, it becomes easier to continue making them. Your will becomes stronger as you choose well. There is a freedom that comes from a lifestyle of godly choices. But with this freedom comes responsibility to not make anyone stumble in their faith because of your actions. Earlier, I was talking about food and drink. This also applies to cultural differences. Many of us have expats living from all over the world. This is the case in Canada, where Tony and I are from. We find in South Africa there are many different African cultures, as well as 11 official languages. How can we live out our faith in our daily lives in a way that draws people to Jesus? How can we learn not to make them stumble due to cultural mistakes? In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23, Paul encourages us to not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or in the church of God. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 2 verse 10 that whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. So remember to make a conscious choice to consider others' weaknesses and cultural differences when you're with them. Cultural differences include worship styles. When I was in Pakistan, I learned their cultural expression of prayer. When people pray, their shoes must come off. They do this because they believe where they're praying becomes holy ground. They have a good point, and it's a beautiful expression of reverence in their faith. Women wear shawls over their head during the services, and especially in prayer. I grew used to this, although on my first Pakistani mission trip, I found it difficult to pull my boots on and off. I brought the wrong footwear. I expected to have uneven pavement, so I brought supportive footwear, but what I needed were sandals. One of the associate pastors in Lahore joked with me about the shoe situation. He said, "Sister Anne, you are powerful with your shoes off, but when you have them on again, you are weak." I thought this was incredibly funny at the time because he was helping me to put my shoes back on yet again. But then I saw the situation through their eyes. What they saw when I had my shoes off was a holy lady who really knew how to pray. They could see Jesus in me and the Holy Spirit operating in gifts. Culturally, I was connected with them. I showed my willingness to enter their culture and that I loved them. I wanted to be like them in their form of worship and prayer. This was a godly choice, and it blessed both them and me. It was the same motivation that caused me to dress African style when I was in Kenya and Sierra Leone. So you can see that our choices affect others for good or ill. They can cause us to grow or to stop growing. Obedience and good choices over the long haul grows us in integrity and in character. When you grow, you reflect Jesus in your heart and life. I pray that as we continue to follow the Lord, that we may become aware of all the choices in our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to us deep within when we are at a crossroads for major decisions, and even many of our small decisions. Let us truly understand the proverb that says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on our own understanding. When we acknowledge you in all our ways, you will direct our paths. Help us to make godly choices, and when we fail and make mistakes, pick us up. Help us to learn and grow from our mistakes and to grow in you. Help us to continue to walk in your ways and to grow our trust in you. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copple's Western Cape Radio.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, you can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ, he will reveal it now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus's power. It, but this could be your glorious hour. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia. Just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world.
South Africa, turn back to God. 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 Turn back to God.
The time has come.
The time has come.
the church to come together and stand up as one. We see our nation failing. Our people are crying for the truth, and silence will not help. But we will fly the victory flag on high, and Jesus we declare the hope of our world. So we stand God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see your kingdom come. And we will fly the victory flag on high, and Jesus we declare the hope. Turning back until we see your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. You were born for a time such as this. The time has come for us to arise and speak the truth. You were born for a time such as this. The time has come for us to rise and speak the truth. But we will fly the victory flag on high, and Jesus we declare the hope of our world. Stand with God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see your kingdom come. And we will fly the victory flag on high, and Jesus we declare the hope of our world. Stand with God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.
The great Keith Green's Easter song, with Easter coming up in just 3 days. And that was followed by Marius Rabe's The Time Has Come from his album of that name. Now, Marius is a worship leader in the church that we go to as often as we can, Worcester Christian Church. And we've come to know Marius, and he is someone very special not only in the world of music, but in Christian leadership. And we love this album of his. And I want to play you the original version of a piece of music that the children from Avian Park sang at the very end of last week's broadcast. If you didn't make it to the very end, I recommend going to the podcast and listening. This song really got into my heart, and I did some searching around with the help of Shazam, and here is Lebo Sekubela with Lion of Judah, and I've posted the video on Koppel's Western Cape Facebook. Thank you for listening. If you stay listening, you'll hear some more music for about half an hour after this final song. And God bless you all. This is Tony Koppel for Koppel's Western Cape Radio. And Lorianne thanks you as well.
Lion of Judah, we worship you. Lion of Judah, you are holy. Can we sing together? Lion of Judah. Come on, give Jesus a hand.